What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93, brought to you by Roughneck Scarves, the Beautiful Game Network, and of course, our new sponsor, For the Culture. They also do our new t-shirt, so you can go to For the Culture, myshopify.com. Check them out. They also got a... What we saw a lot was a lot of defensive shifts from the team. So, say, for instance, Akwe had the ball, he was pushing forward. Shinashi will move over. Ivan will become more central. But then whoever it was that wing back on the weak side would then drop back.
Yeah.
Almost like a quarter spot in between the CDM and the center back.
Exactly.
Which was good to see. So, the second half was kind of...
The first part of the second half, the kickers came out a little... more tame. I think they felt we're in control of this. Let's kind of sit back a little bit. Greenville were coming forward, but they never really created any dangerous chances. And I think at face value, at the first glance, you're thinking, oh goodness, Greenville is really just coming at it. But it just got to, it was basically like waves crashing against the rocks. It's just stopping because the kickers were just not letting anything pass.
But the other thing didn't have as much to do in the second half. If you go back and watch the second half, a lot of Greenville players started to get irritated with each other.
Oh, yes.
Started to get irritated with each other. And I know, like, it's kind of like semantics, I'm assuming. But I think that's important because of the fact of you're missing your starting goalkeeper, who's kind of like your rock. You're missing your starting striker, who's like your rock. Oh, also, your starting left back carrying is out. So now you're down three important key pieces.
Yeah.
And all the attack was coming from the right side.
Yeah.
And what's happening is that it's just a whole bunch of miscommunication. Nothing's really clicking. And you see them start to get frustrated. And I think that's working into Richmond's favor. Because Rich was like, River City Red Army t-shirt. Go check them out. But with that being said, we got all that out the way so we can pay for this podcast. This is your host, Elliot Barr.
Shania Duran.
And it's a 1-0 derby win. Do we consider this a derby?
Health insurance derby.
All right. Yeah, it's a 1-0 win. Last week. It's a 1-0 win in the health insurance derby. It was, at the moment, I've never had that kind of energy going into a game and coming out of a game in River City.
Yeah.
But going back and watching the game, I'm like, oh, we got lucky.
Yeah.
You know, first and foremost, huge shout outs to Coach John Harkes. He follows us on Twitter, by the way. I told you how he DM'd us.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't John Harkes. I was like, nah, it's not.
There's no way
and
this is John Harkes.
Because I thought it was like, you know, like the Nigerian scam kind of people. Like, hey, can I bring a gift by? And I'm like, what? So then I clicked and I'm like, oh, no. That's John Harkes.
It's actually John Harkes.
So for those who don't know, we put pictures up on our Instagram and our Twitter. John Harkes came over. He gave a shirt with Charlie Siegel's name on the back of it and a scarf to Coach Bulow. And it was a really, like, a touching moment, man. Because, you know, everyone loves to get on John Harkes, give him a hard time and whatnot. But, like, to really get to know the person, it's like, dude, it's a class act.
And not only that, you know John Harkes is a U.S. men's national legend. He's been there. He's been at the top level of the U.S. game. There's a history there.
Yeah.
He's done a lot for the red, white, and blue.
Yeah, no.
On the soccer field.
So it's 100% massive respects to him. But that being said, we get into the game. And like I said earlier, Richmond got by, luckily.
And it was a lot like the South Georgia game where we started off real rocky. Triumph had a lot of chances on goal. Josh Hughes had a goal line clearance early on. I mean, it's just...
Let's talk about that. Because Greenville's MO, for anyone who doesn't know, is crossing the ball. They're not like Atlanta, where it's... As soon as you get the ball, they're countering and going. They're not like Ford, who's going to try to pass around you. Yeah. They're like, no, get the ball, put it out to the wings,
get down the lap. Cross.
It's rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Over and over again. And I gotta admit, man, the kickers did their thing with it. Like,
yeah, they handled it.
I think the first couple of minutes. I think if Vula's plan was, look, if we could get past the first 10 minutes of the initial wave, we could settle and get into the game.
Yeah, and that's, I feel like that's what happened. I mean, that moment with the goal line save, that's just a moment of sharpness. That's one thing that we've lacked in the first 10 minutes of the game. We definitely did in the last game. Yeah. But there was mental sharpness. That ball gets past Akira, and Josh Hughes is there.
Well, to clear that off. That's the other thing, too, because I think it's Joshua Donnelly who... Well, you're talking about the second chance, right?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
The one that Josh Hughes cleared off.
Right off the line. That ball cuts through, and I think, like, Akira's trying to get to it, but he can't really get all the way there.
Yeah.
I think Akira is 6 foot. He gets there. Unfortunately, Akira's 5'11".
Yeah.
So Donnelly has a shot and is a wide open net. And I think if Donnelly slows down, it goes in. But he kind of like rushes it and he kind of like stumbles back. Yeah. And he doesn't put enough power behind it. And that's how Hughes is able to lunge
get the ball out of there.
And I think that gave the kickers like, oh, we can do this.
Yeah.
Like it kind of gave you that feeling of like, all right, let's resettle. Now, the first shot was when I think kickers lost the ball at, I want to say, a half. And Donnelly had, like, oh, my fault. The second one was from, it was Donnelly twice.
Yeah.
All right. So Donnelly had another chance where he has a shot from outside the box. And if it's not for Akira's thumb.
Akira got, like, literally his thumb to it. And
side note, I'm also drinking Hennessy. just letting y'all know.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it wasn't for Akira's thumb, that ball is nestling into the far left corner.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, ooh, I'm glad we have a goalkeeper like this. Now, yeah. Greenville came into this game with Dallas J, who was on international duty, yeah. Omar, who was on international duty. I think they were missing another player. And then Jake Keegan, we heard about at the cookout, like literally an hour before kickoff, oh, Jake Keegan isn't playing because of a foot injury. So with that, it's like, all right, we can really take our... Like, you're missing arguably two of your best players, with Keegan and Dallas J.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, can we really, like, set the tone and get this done? And we did. But after those two chances by Greenville, I think things settled down a lot.
Yeah.
I think there was...
The rest of the first half was just kind of back and forth, but most of the stuff was going on in the middle. The kickers were kind of cooking a little bit.
It was. I got to say, Gallardo, even though he, you know, Joey walking to him, he could cross up anyone. He did a great job of finding passes out.
Like, yes.
Bulldog looked especially dangerous.
Oh, yes,
he looked especially dangerous, man. It was a great... He did well. I joked with him after the game that I was like, dude, you're the puppeteer.
Yeah.
He was like, no, I'm not. I was like, dude, you are the puppeteer. Like, dude, you... No, what he said? He was like, oh, I'm Iniesta.
Yep, Iniesta. And he said, Joey G's Messi.
I was like, all right, I'll take it. I'd rather have you be confident in anything else in the world. So then we get to the
45th minute, right before halftime.
So the crazy thing was, Chin had a chance on goal, but Chin, like, mishandles it. He kind of like comes across his body, and it's kind of like that repeat of the goal that he had against South Georgia. We let it come across his body. He's just going to shoot it.
Yeah.
Far post.
Yeah.
To get it into the back of the net. And
he mishandled it. And I think the center back got a toe to it.
Yeah,
it out for a corner.
But then Greenville's keeper, who this is his first ever start ever, kind of like, and you mentioned it, he wanted to control it with his hands, but then he was like, oh, snap, I can't.
Because this was passed back to me. So he goes for it with his foot, completely misses the ball, and it goes out.
Yeah, mishandles it completely. So then we have the corner kick, and Shanair are standing up top because Shanair showed up late to the game. Yes, I'm calling you out on the podcast. But then we were standing there, we're like, and granted, this is before we went back and rewatched the game today.
Yeah.
the corner kick comes in, and all of a sudden you just see Troyer like charge in and just rise above everyone else.
It's like he got, you know, those lifts you use to get higher than a ladder can.
He had a forklift in his legs.
It's like you took that and put it in fast forward, and he just went up.
That's my sound of Troyer like jumping. What it sounds like, a forklift going forward.
Like he rose up.
He did, man. It was a hell of a goal because. So odd stat. I saw this on Twitter last night. I think it was. I'm trying to make sure who said it correctly. God, I can't remember. It's one of the USL guys. Mm-hmm. But they said that this is Troyer's 124th league game. Not USL Cup mm-hmm. game or preseason. This is his 124th game for the club and his first goal.
Yeah.
So that's impressive, man. Yeah.
And you could see that because as soon as he scored that goal, practically the entire team, with probably the exception of Akira, swarms Brayden Troyer. Yeah.
If there was no one else that deserved a goal...
It's Troyer. I mean, and this goal was set up, and we have to shout out everyone involved with this. We have to shout out, first off, Gallardo. The cross was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
The cross was beautiful. It was put right where it needed to be.
It is.
The second person we need to shout out on this goal is Shinovsky. Shinovsky put in some distraction.
Shinovsky said a pick.
He basically did.
He not only
set a pick, but he drew the attention of at least two other defenders.
Oh, yeah.
And with that allowed for Troy. That's one of the reasons why Troyer was able to come into the box free and go up for the header.
So now, having us go back and rewatch the game.
Uh-huh. The other reason why he was open.
This is the main reason why he was open. It was like, what, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning? I meant to text you. I was like, "Shit, you didn't even watch this game."
Oh, I was probably watching it at the same time.
This is how you can tell we're both podcast buddies, like Taylor and Daryl. We're not on that level of synchronization yet, but we came and we saw each other. It was like, "Did you see the goal?"
Yeah.
So Edamaru, he gets subbed on because Akira. We're gonna take a moment to talk about Akira. Akira is Mike Tyson this whole game.
Oh, it was Edmundo Robinson.
Yeah, Edmundo Robinson. He pretty much, he gets subbed on for Herring, who goes off with a knee injury, hope, speedy recovery, and everything like that.
Yeah.
I've had that injury before, and it is not pretty at all. No, so Edmundo comes onto the field, and Edmundo is like pointing out like, "Hey, go here. Hey, go here.
Hey, Troyer's open. But doesn't step to Troyer. This is what confuses me is that everybody else is marking somebody. And Troyer's open. You just got on and you're pointing to Troyer like someone needs to mark. And the rest of the tribe team are like, "No, I got my man. You get him."
Yeah.
And instead, he starts walking in.
He's not walking
towards the six.
Yeah, towards the six.
Oh, wait, and Brent Troyer's over, like, near the corner of the 18.
Yeah.
Near the far corner of the 18, and he's walking in towards the six, towards the goal, rather than marking Brent Troyer. And so now, the cross comes in, Brent Troyer comes running in, Robinson is backing away, and there's no way he's going to get up.
Because I think the thing that's pointed out about this goal is that when Amando is coming on, he's pointing out, like, "Hey, Troyer is rolling to the left."
Yeah.
So then he's like, "All right, I have..." So in his head, he's thinking, "I got Shinovsky." And whoever who originally had Shinovsky is supposed to go get Troyer. It's supposed to be a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
But that doesn't get communicated because what happens is, instead of Shinovsky, because what Amando sees is just a void space.
Yeah.
So he's like, "All right, if this ball's coming in here, Shinovsky and Troyer are going to pull in here. But the guy that originally had Shinovsky is going to pick up Troyer." What happens is Shinovsky, brilliant in the moment, is like, "I'm going to make a dummy run."
He makes two dummy runs.
So what he does is that he falls left, but then sharply comes back right, which allows Troyer to just run right behind him, unseen and unheard.
Yeah.
Now, Amando does get to Troyer, but Amando is standing still.
Yeah, standing still and actually taking a step back, too.
So it's like trying to jump forward while you're walking backwards, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, Troyer's running as full speed as he can and gets above him. Now, this goal goes ding dong
off the crossbar.
And, yo, I gotta give a huge shout out to Section O. And actually, like, the whole crowd, it was like a pop. Like, if you hear the highlights, it's like when the goal goes in, you just hear a pop, like a pop of energy that I've had that. I have never heard
it went nuts. Before. And you know why? Because I feel that there are so many people, especially within the Red Army and the people who really follow the Kickers, who are so happy for Troyer
yes.
for this goal.
Yes.
Because God knows he deserved it. He deserved
it. Troyer started
goal.
Off as what, a left back?
As a left back.
And we were just like, all right, this is Troyer, he's going to be a left back. And
he's a left back.
And everyone was like, oh, can he be a center for the man? And he gets put in, and then he scores his goal. And
yes.
it's great.
Yes.
It's great, man. It was great to see.
And I'm pretty sure his head reached level with the crossbar.
Oh, I'm sure.
When he connects with that ball.
I'm sure.
Because he got up. I did not know Troyer could get up like that. Because you see him as a CDM, you're contesting for a lot of goal
yeah,
kicks
of
coming
course.
Out. A lot of punts from the goalie coming out. And I've seen him, you know, get up. But not like that. Not like that.
Oh, yeah. So, like, in this game, for instance, Greenville had, what, 12 crosses. But we had, I think, almost 20 clearances.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes great into our, you know, our stats because of the fact of that's Greenville's MO. Like, if you can
cross
clear
the ball. Yep. If they cross the ball, we clear it.
Yeah. And this is also a team that's, like, second in the league in big chances. Like, they create big opportunities off of these crosses.
Yep.
So the fact that we were able to limit those opportunities for him means that he will execute his game plan, effectively,
yeah.
what he wanted to do.
No.
And also, we were able to go back to the 3-1-4-2,
yeah.
which has been working wonders for us. And, I'm also happy of the fact of, if we be honest with ourselves, every game outside of Orlando is... And Toronto, which we'll probably be favored in, I'm assuming,
mm-hmm.
we're playing with house money.
Yeah.
You know, like I've been saying, the next, well, four games now are all against teams in playoff position.
Yeah.
When Richmond scores that goal going into halftime, because honestly, I don't think if we score at halftime, I don't think we're scoring. I think
yeah.
it ends 0-0.
It ends 0-0 if we didn't score.
Yeah.
If Brandon Troy doesn't get that goal, it's 0-0.
Yeah. So I think Greenville, they kind of get out of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because then you see them start kind of dribbling. They're trying to take shots outside of the box.
Yeah.
They're trying to...
A lot more fouls.
Yeah.
They started to play very scrappy. And
yeah.
very, like...
I mean, you could tell. Greenville had 18 fouls alone
yeah.
in this game. So you could tell.
And most of them were in the second half after they went 1-0 down and started the second half trying to go in guns blazing with a heavy attack.
Yeah.
But the back line just stopped it.
Yeah.
So even though they're coming forward and they're spending most of the beginning of the second half in our half of the field, Akira doesn't really have that much to do because the defensive line is literally a wall in front of that attack. And I feel like our wing backs did a magnificent job.
Lockerbie and Hughes.
Yeah, Lockerbie and Hughes did a great job. Even Ivan coming out sometimes, great job of closing down those crosses.
Yeah.
But then, the middle part of the second half, then it was kind of a little back and forth. Kickers had a few chances. They said, all right, they're getting a little tired. Let's try and push at them again. And then the last 10 minutes, and... I was sitting with Daryl.
Oh, you saw Daryl?
Yeah, Daryl.
Oh, man.
He was sitting over on the side. I was sitting with Daryl, and Daryl said, he said, I don't want to jinx it, but it looks like we've got this under control.
I kind of felt that way. I mean, granted, I was standing in Section O, of course, and
yeah.
having a ball. And I was kind of just like, I feel like we got this.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that ease feeling of like, we
yeah,
know
it wasn't like the...
It didn't feel like the forward game. I felt like we had it, but we kind of
forward game.
Which
though.
One?
Was it Toronto 2-2?
Yes.
It wasn't like the Toronto game because
you
could
feel
momentum.
It didn't feel like we were getting bunkered in.
Yeah,
like,
there was a momentum shift.
Yeah.
And we felt like this is not gonna go well. This one, it felt like we had it under control.
No, I agree.
Yes. Greenville hit the panic button and were throwing everything but the kitchen sink at us.
They were. They were going all out.
They were going all out, but it looked like we still had it under control. And that was wonderful to see. That's very heartening. I'm telling you, and you said it, and I agree with it, if the Kickers make the playoffs.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
Bulow, coach of the season.
Well, yeah, without a doubt, man. You think about it, man. This man went through June.
Yeah.
What, lost 7 out of 8?
7 out of 8, didn't score at all in June or July.
Dead last.
Practically.
Dead last in the table. You come back from a friendly where it's like, oh, we scored, we're playing better. You lose to North Texas, and then you beat Orlando City B, and then you go into this stretch of wins. And now you think about it, and this is kind of going into playoff chances. You're sitting 8th right now on the table. You got North Texas coming up on Tuesday, and you got Ford at home Saturday, and you go on the road against FC Tucson, and then a road again against Chattanooga. You play the next 4 teams against teams in playoff position. The funny thing is, if we beat North Texas beat Ford, we will then, if results go our way, I think the key matchup we need is Greenville and Tucson. We need that to be a draw, right?
Yeah. Greenville and Tucson needs to be a draw.
And we need Lansing and North Texas to win on Saturday. We will actually be in the playoffs going into FC Tucson the following week.
Yeah.
Which will be like, what? Like, if you would have told me that in June, I would have been like, nah, ain't no way.
No, we're not making playoffs. Like, even
if people were saying, like, I was being too optimistic, we were being too optimistic, even a part of me was like, this ain't happening.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, but, man, credit to them, man. They stuck in it. They've been, I think, like, really took over this mantra of, like, the underdog. And even the broadcaster on the game was saying about how, oh, by the way, USL League One, let's get something straight. Mm. When you do these intro videos about, oh, we're shooting from Richmond, Virginia, make sure you have the updated video. Because there's a video that they showed of, like, the Red Army. They're like, oh, this is the Red Army. And trying to hype it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the video from opening day. Because Ted's standing beside me. And I was like,
Ted wasn't there. You know, they aren't the only ones that did that. You heard what happened for the, who was it? Seattle?
Oh, yeah, I did. I heard that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
But that's Fox. I expect Fox to mess up, but.
I know, but still, yeah. Like, really?
Use a current video.
Just get a drone video of, like, please,
I saw that and I was like, I know I had a lot to drink.
But Ted wasn't.
But there. I didn't see Ted.
No, Ted was not there.
Yeah, I was like, nah, this wasn't right.
And I know Ted wasn't there. I didn't have a lot to drink. Yeah. I was on daddy duty.
Yeah.
Ted wasn't there.
By the way, I think I scared Benny with the goal scored because my initial reaction was to, like, bear hug you. Mm-hmm. And I went in and I was like, oh, it's not Benny. Oh, my God. And Benny just looked at me and just started crying. I'm like, oh, I am a horrible uncle.
Yeah. He started crying a little bit. But he handled it good. He handled it okay. Yeah, so, that's not the first time. I think last game... We were at the Toronto game when he scored a goal.
Benny doesn't like loud sounds. He was like,
there's way too much noise. Way too much noise.
So, this week being over with, North Texas has secured their playoff spot. I think Lansing, if they beat Tucson this upcoming week, they're pretty much in. They're locked in.
Yeah.
Greenville is on 34. Ford is on 33. South Georgia is on 33. Chattanooga's on 33. FC Tucson's on 31. We're sitting at 28, and Toronto's on 26.
So, literally, I think it's safe to say that...
If Toronto loses to Orlando on Saturday, or draw, I kind of believe that kind of kills
their chances. They're kind of out, yeah.
I kind of believe that kills their chances, because then you would have... Well, you got 4 games left, but you got Greenville on the road, South Georgia at home, Toronto at home, Chattanooga on the road. My fault. Richmond on the road... Chattanooga on the road. So they got 5 games left.
Yeah.
And I think we still have the most left with 6, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we still have six. So we still have the most games left out of anyone. Lansing has played the most with 25, by the way. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a great end to the finish.
Yeah.
Great end to the finish.
The end to the season?
Yeah.
End to the season. End to the season race. Hey, look. Look, I'm still on a high from yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I don't think I went to sleep till like 2.
Yeah, me too. It was.
And I mean, it's part of the reason, man, because it was just the energy in the stadium was just like, it was flowing. Like, you could just electric. Tell, like,
yes.
The Red Army was singing, but then like the other sections were starting singing.
Yeah.
And then, so for those who have ever watched the ESPN 30 for 30 about Brian Bosworth, there's a song in there that's like, bye, bye, Bosworth.
Yeah.
So we started doing that, but took Bosworth, put Greenville.
Yeah.
And one of my friends who was like at the top, he was like, yo, y'all realize y'all song is like going throughout the whole stadium, right? And I was like, what?
What?
He was like, dude, the whole stadium is singing bye bye Greenville.
Like, that is that yeah. That was that's a first.
Yeah, I mean, that's gonna have tell. To
say that's a first.
Yeah.
Not only that, normally around this time of the season, the stadium's empty.
Oh.
Because
the last
kids
two
are going
years.
Back to school. No one really wants to come to games anymore. It's only at the beginning of the season you get the big rush. And at the end of the season with the playoff race, you get a big rush. Yeah.
And the last 2 years, we haven't been in a playoff rush.
So it's just been quiet. The stadium was still bumping.
It
was still a lot of people at City Stadium. And kudos to the residents of Richmond. Well done.
With that win, we are the official winners of the Bonds of Coors Cup, as it is officially called. I think we get free health insurance for a year. That's
the health
great.
Insurance derby.
Yeah. But it was kind of cool, man. We got to hold the cup. It was cool. You know, nice little rivalry trophy. It all works out the same. Let's go on to our next game, which would be what? We play North Texas Tuesday, 8 p.m., by the way, there is a watch party at Tabo Brewery. So, for those who want to come out and watch the game, come to Tabo. But we play North Texas, who's already in the playoffs. They have already clinched, you know.
Yeah, they're
kind of locked
North,
up.
North Texas word.
So, let me ask you this, just initially. Do you think North Texas might rest players? It's Tuesday, 8 p.m.
It depends on their schedule.
They play upcoming next. Let me see. I gotta pull it up.
Yeah, they play.
They
Saturday
go on the road,
well. South
Georgia.
Georgia.
So, do you think they rest players?
I don't know,
because this is the other thing too. Well, I mean, Dolphins is still there, but Pepe's on international duty.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think they got one or two other players out on international duty, so we kind of lucked up in that. But then, unfortunately, and I think it was Matt Myers, who told me, Sentinel resident on Twitter, if you want to follow him, great follow, by the way.
Yeah.
He told me that Torrey got a yellow card, and I think that knocks Torrey out for the North Texas.
Yeah, because of yellow card accumulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who do you think comes in to replace Torrey? Because my guess is it would probably be, I want to say Maxi.
Yeah, I would say start Maxi. Yeah. Start Maxi in the midfield.
I think it would be a mix between Maxi and then like Ekinrota coming on to be the backup.
Yeah.
Or if not Ekinrota, maybe Ratzliff. I'm assuming.
Yeah. Ratzliff. I haven't seen him out there.
Oh, you know what? I've also, now that we're talking about this and I'm thinking about it more, it's positive. It might be Hughes. It might be Hughes to play that Chora role. And then you replace Troyer.
Who would you put out on the wing instead of Hughes? Ainsworth? Where's Ainsworth been? I mean, he's done fairly well out there before, so
Ainsworth maybe. Maybe, I don't know. It's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle because,
I mean,
because
we need to remember that there are a lot of players
I mean, if you take Ainsworth off, I mean, also you have our news signing, Zach Perez. They came from Petford Pro. We just signed him, by the way. Yeah. Defensive signing. I'm glad to see we made a defensive signing.
And you got Kraft. I mean, if you need to rest Gallardo.
Yeah. So, okay. Let me ask you this then. Do you think we'll rest players for this game?
Because no, we should. I think
so. So you're fine with dropping points?
Against North Texas, yes. Because North Texas, whether they drop points or not, they're still... That's not affecting our table as much. Now, if it's a game against a team that we're fighting against for those spots, yeah, you want to take as many points away from them as possible. Yeah. But it is North Texas. We know what North Texas is capable of. North Texas has been terrorizing the league since day one.
And it's also weird because this game comes into part where we will kind of be... We'll still have a game on hand on most teams. I think the only teams we would tie with is like Greenville and Toronto with the amount of games left.
Yeah.
But even
that evens it out a bit more.
Yeah. But I think the key for that North Texas game is to have a draw.
If we can get a draw against North Texas with resting players, we can come in guns blazing against on Saturday forward. Yeah, against forward.
Which, by the way, is Heritage Night. And if you've seen our postings, you've probably seen them a bunch of times. We are raising money for the Black History Museum of Richmond, Virginia, Richmond Conexiones, and the Beta Gamma Lambda Education Foundation. Tickets are $12. If you're interested in buying a ticket, you can DM us on the podcast Twitter or on Instagram or me or Shanair on Facebook. It will give you all the information that you need on how to pay for a ticket. Even if you cannot go to a game, please, I encourage everyone to buy a ticket because it's going to a great cause.
Yeah.
But before a game, we'll talk about that later. Let's go back to North Texas. It's going to be an interesting matchup because we have not scored a goal against North Texas. And North Texas, every time they have played us so far, has effectively mopped the floor with us.
Yeah, effectively.
Like, it has not been pretty.
It hasn't. It hasn't. But that was then. This is now.
Yeah, this is...
We need to remember this is a different...
This is true. I mean...
Different kickers team.
This is our first trip in North Texas. The last two have been at home. Like I said, Pepe's out. My thing is, I think if we make smart... I will say this. I will say rest Joey G. Put in Kraft for him. I think Hughes plays Troy's role. I think Perez goes out there as the wing back. But for Maxi, I think if you don't want to... I think you can put Kraft at striker and pair him up with Jackson so he can run off of him. I think if you put Maxi in attacking man, I think that works better for Maxi. Because Maxi, in my head, I think Maxi works better when he's further up the pitch and he doesn't have... Don't get me wrong. Maxi's great at defense.
Yeah.
He's good at defense. But I think his true attributes are when he's further pushed up the field and he doesn't have to do so much defensive work behind him. If he has to do marginal defensive work, like clean up, help out, kind of shift the plays, I think he's good at that. But we are like, you got to be the sole focal point.
Yeah.
I think that kind of hinders Max's ability to get up the field, to have those line spinning passes.
Yeah.
And I think we'll might see other players play. It just all depends. I mean, Bulo doesn't seem to surprise us because who would ever thought that we would be winning these games, 5 out of the last 7? With 3 in the back.
Winning 5 out of the last 7 and only losing 1.
And with 3 center backs on the roster.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it? You use all your center backs in one formation.
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought that?
That's the thing, though. I think this season is, like we had said at the beginning of the season, this season is a transition season. This season is a learning curve season. For these guys,
it is.
Because if you think about it, with how flexible the kickers have had to be because of injuries, because of changing things because it's not working, because of all these things, suspension because of yellow card accumulations, things like that. Because of that, they've had to adapt. And if you have that adaptability, I feel like next season, when we come back,
not even next season, I think really when you have that adaptability, I think it helps you out so much now, because now you know. Because next year, this squad, this is the last, and you probably see this squad all together. You know, because people are going to move on, stuff like that. But I think it, what happened, and we talk about so much about June, because you can see so many players were hurt. Like I said, we didn't have Bolduc. We didn't, you know, it was all over the place. The defense was out of sorts. But all of that has changed now, and I think it's because we've had so to adapt so much to certain things that I think now the team is like, we've been through the roughest part. This is all easy now. Like, the most dangerous thing is when you have a team that has not only momentum on the side, but they're playing with house money.
Yeah.
Like, they have nothing to lose. Like, if Richmond, not trying to, you know, be negative or anything like that, but if Richmond doesn't make the playoffs, no one outside of the River City Red Army, maybe kicker transfer, maybe like, oh, man, we had a shot. But if we happen to, you know, win the next two, we're in a playoff position. We go into that FC Tucson game, and it's like, you win this game.
You're in.
You're kind of pretty much, you're in.
You're kind of,
if you win the next two against Tucson and Chattanooga, you're in. You know? Side note, if you're a kickers player, listen to this podcast, stop right now. I don't need you thinking ahead. Focus on North Texas only. Yes,
focus on North Texas.
Do not think ahead.
One game at a time. And that, I feel like that's how Buelow is approaching this.
Yeah, I do
too. One game at a time. And that's how you got to do it. That's how you have to do it. If you don't approach it one game at a time, you start thinking ahead. Well, if we get points here, and then we get points there, and then we get points here.
Yeah.
But you already got a game coming up.
Yeah.
Don't think about three games down the road.
Yeah. Focus on getting North Texas. It's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah.
So we have some unfortunate news that we have to talk about, because people think that we live in the 1940s. And I know there's some people that probably don't want to hear this, but I'm going to bring up, we're going to bring it up anyway, because
it needs to be addressed. The more you talk about it, the more you bring awareness to the fact that it's still going on and something needs to be done about it. I feel that there are a lot of people that don't take action because they don't think that it's still happening.
Hmm.
And
so I'm going to tell you this right now. If, like,
straight up, simply put, you are a coward. Like, a coward.
So we had an incident, and we're going to talk about the Corvinoy incident as well. But we had an incident happen the same night as ours, came across his Twitter, and we were reading about it.
Yeah.
It happened in an NWSL match for the backup goalkeeper for the Utah Royals, I believe.
Utah Royals versus Portland Thorns.
Yeah. She played for Utah or Portland?
I think it was the Utah Royals keeper.
All right. Who is French? Who is actually the backup goalkeeper? French. Who is the backup goalkeeper for the U.S. Women's National Team?
Yes.
So apparently,
To me, that makes it even worse.
And apparently you had a fan in the same. Now, there's conflicting reports about someone pointing them out and the security got them, but they couldn't really escort them out. And then there's another report that, you know, someone did point it out, but security didn't do anything. This is all I'm going to say. At some point, it has to get to the fact.
It was the Portland Thorns goalkeeper, Eddie French.
Okay. It has to get to a point where people are sitting there and you hear it, and you're just like, "Dude, what are you doing?"
I mean, I'm gonna what I
and
I'm
not
gonna,
even taking it as like being cool. We both are passionate because we're both African American men living in America. We know what that already entails.
Yes,
but it's like. And people want to say, you know, racism deserves no part in our game, which is true, which is totally true.
Yeah.
But it's going to have to get to a point where,
if you're going to say that, back it up.
Yeah.
If you're going to say that it deserves no part in our game, look, I don't care if you have to drag this person out and have a discussion with them outside of the stadium. If you want to appeal it and fight the ban, go ahead and do it. And then we have to come with proof. But in the moment, if someone points out this person, that this person said something racist to the goalie, that person needs to be taken out of the stadium immediately. You don't need proof.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right? The proof is this person pointing that person
out. I will say this, and this is where I pretty much stand on it. If you got... If you got the balls to say it in a public place in front of people, you got the balls to get punched in the mouth.
Yeah. I mean...
Like, that's really what it comes down to. Because you're, like, being ignorant and you're ruining the atmosphere for everyone else. Like, and I don't want to condone violence on anyone, but it's just, like, you can't do that. And then this is the other thing. Like, you had the crew of Noah who posted something of ignorance on their Facebook page about how telling Lukaku that it's... What did they say?
They said it's not racist.
Yeah, it's not racist.
Monkey?
Yeah, it's not racist to call you a monkey and to have monkey chats at you. Which, if anyone has any high school education or even middle school history, knows that black people telling them, "Hey, you look like a monkey," is racist. It is racist.
Yeah, and I that's one that I feel. And I mean. But then you're going to insult someone who put on the red, white, and blue to represent you in the World Cup.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Because, and so when you look at... Italy has always had racism issues since...
So I would say this. This is my way of dealing with racism in America, in sports. I know people are saying, oh, you can't ban the whole stadium. It wasn't everyone. No, I'm going to treat it like everyone. And then it's up to y'all to figure out... Who did all this stuff?
Exactly.
One.
Because then there's no pressure to point out the person who did it if no repercussion is going to take place.
Stadium ban. Like, full blown, we're playing the games with no fans.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors. Oh, also, this game's not going to be televised. So the club doesn't make any money off of it and monetize it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Also, that's how you fix it.
I mean, and the reason why.
I feel like a lot of this stuff we're probably going to have to edit out.
No, we won't have to edit it out because the thing is, stuff like that, it's very hard to come by things like that.
It's not smart.
It's not.
Nothing good comes from it because you're going to look at like an idiot. You're going to make the fans that are probably not that way look like idiots. And it just creates a system. Don't do it. So with that being said... This episode is brought to you by For the Culture, Roughneck Scarves, and the Beautiful Game Network. You can now follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at RiverCity93. Once again, if you want to buy tickets for Heritage Night, hit us up. We got tickets for sale. We got a lot of tickets to sell, so hit us up. Please, 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 please. And with that being said, guys, you can catch us on the flip side.